This is Kevin on the Monday Magazine on Vectis Radio, and as promised, Joe Plum has come in for a chat. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. I asked you to come in because I'm intrigued by this theatre company of yours, which is called South Bank Theatre Company, which sounds a bit Londonish, and yet we're on the Isle of Wight. So could you just tell us a bit about when all that started and why you chose the name for it? Is that name significant in some way?
Yeah, I started the company in 2011 in London. I went to South Bank University and did a theatre producing course there. And in our kind of second year, we had to create a performance working with the National Theatre. So we put on a production of Titus Andronicus. It was underneath a tunnel in London. It's a fantastic production, and kind of from there, I then wanted to take and things that we were doing further, and bring some stuff back to the island. We've worked in Edinburgh, we've worked in London, and we've worked on the Isle of Wight. So, yeah, the name's kind of just stuck and gone with me, really.
Yeah, and when you say we, is that that just you, or have you got other people?
Yeah, originally I set it up with Carla and Tonya, Carla is from Brazil and Tonya is from Norway, and we kind of worked together on those productions. Tonya directed a production of Frankenstein that we did with Billy Postlethwaite, who's Pete Postlethwaite's son. That we did that in London. So we've all kind of worked together, and then they've all gone off and done separate projects, and I've kind of taken South Bank Theatre Company with me. So
okay, so you caught the drama bug pretty early on in life,
did you? Yeah, quite a long time.
Can you take us back to where it began? Can you?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I've always sort of done. We've always done like little plays for my grandma in the garden. And I've bossed everybody around, telling them what to do, and kind of from then I was involved in the church when I was younger, and did a lot for the drama group. And then when I went to school at Trinity, I used to go through a lot of the drama club there and take part in all of their different productions. They kind of, I think it really happened when I was at Medina. I went there because of the draw of the they had performing arts specialism then, and had Helen Redding as my drama teacher. Did a lot of productions there, and then later on went to get involved in Red Tie. Yeah. And that's kind of when that focused kind of working on drama happened.
So. Yeah, but right from being what age do you think you're doing your drama productions in the garden?
Yeah,
what, like 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I think something about 8.
Wow,
probably younger. But yeah, and my grandma died this year, which is was really sad. But when we were going through all of her stuff, and we've over New Year have just gone through some more stuff of hers, and we found loads of old newspaper cuttings from when she was in plays, and she'd always take me to the theatre and my cousins to the theatre.
Right.
So it's kind of always been involved in our lives, really. So it's
what's
really,
her name, Joe?
It's Glenn Griffin.
Glenn Griffin.
She did a lot in Swanage, and we got a lot of newspaper cuttings of different plays she's been in.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a bit of in the family, you think?
Yeah.
In the blood.
Yeah. I think it is. And it's really nice. And would always go to the theatre with her, and we'd take her out on different trips to London or to the Mayflower and things.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Okay. And do you feel as motivated now as you did? Because you went to uni to study it.
Yeah.
So presumably it's fair to say it's the passion of your life, isn't it?
Most definitely. I spent my whole student loan on going to watch plays.
That's tough.
In London, and it was, I had to go days of, should I eat or should I go to the theatre? And the theatre normally won.
Okay.
And I still have that massive passion for it. Absolutely love the whole world of theatre and arts and I think, it's a massive passion of mine.
Yeah, and it's fair to say, I know you, I've been in one of your plays, and look at me now, a ruined, broken man. I loved it. But the thing about you, I think it's fair to say, is that you have got a special take on productions. You've got an eye for staging, haven't you? And you like to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I suppose when I first started, and I was directing for Helen Redding for Red Tie.
Yeah.
It was all about kind of the emotion and kind of getting the kind of gripping performances, so the pulling at the heartstrings of the audience, which I really love and still love that now, and that kind of is the core. But I suppose then when I moved to uni and I had studied Brecht at A-level with Donna Still, who is an amazing drama teacher, and I had kind of got a bit of a passion for it. But then really when I was at uni and I went to see Fiona Shaw in Mother Courage, I kind of realised that that's the kind of theatre I want to create. I want to create a theatre that is mental and is epic and is over the top and is insane and visually really exciting to watch. What I loved about that production was that it didn't quite get to where it wanted to be. It wanted to be, I strongly believe that you should aim high and not quite get there and go massive and try something.
Yeah.
And The Isle of Wight is a brilliant opportunity for us to be able to do that because, you know, plays, they do cost money, but in this kind of situation we're here, it's not a lot of money and we normally break even, which is a lovely feeling. But, you can take risks and you can go, you can really experiment and try something.
Yeah.
And I always think if you go for something that's massive and...
What was special about Titus production? You said that was a brilliant one. That's the one you did while you were in London.
Yeah, whilst we were in London.
Was that like a special moment for you, the one that gave you the confidence to believe that you can do this different stuff? Or
yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed working on the London production. We then took it to the island and it was a little bit stressful. Probably shouldn't have
well, done that. Too but much it, for us,
but
was it?
It was, yeah. That was half an Isle of Wight cast and half a London cast. It was very difficult. But over there, I really loved doing the London one. It was, we're getting excited and all working together and all being able to put our creative input on this one production. And it was stressful, but we were working at the National Theatre Studio. We were working with the National Theatre Archive team and all of those different elements. And, ripping apart Rory Kinnear's Hamlet was kind of, we wanted to create something that wasn't anything like that. That was our aim. And I think we did that with, handing out pies to the audience and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant play. It's like Quentin Tarantino in Shakespeare in Times. It's fabulous.
And is that your biggest pride and joy so far, would you think? Or could you pick out a few other highlights since then that I achieve what I set out to achieve here? Or is there anything like that?
Yeah, I think every single production I do, I'm very proud of. But things like I loved doing Mother Courage with Red Tie is a kind of big, that's a big turning point. And I loved... I loved doing Penelope that you were in.
Yeah.
Was because I loved it because nobody else liked it. And that made me realise that you don't have to do things for people to enjoy.
Yeah.
But things could be a little bit weird. Yeah. And that's what I like. And I loved doing that play. And I directing Colin Ford and it just being Colin Ford and Crap's Arse Tape for 45 minutes.
I saw that one.
That was a very important play to me.
Yeah.
But each of them are. I love them. Macbeth was mental.
Yeah.
And another one which didn't quite get to where I had, where I would like to have done it.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm really proud of where we got to and the kind of ambition that the whole project had. I think we're so used to on the island doing a play and then. That's it stopped and we move on to the next one, whereas a lot of my training at uni and a lot of the work that I've done before in London is things that you do the performance but then that can then develop into something else and you can take it further. And I think that's important, that you don't just stop. We've done three nights in a church on the Isle of Wight, why would we want to take it any further? Because actually you can go, right, what worked, what didn't work, let's see if we can do it again, let's see if we can make it somewhere else.
So could you, for those who don't know you, I know you to a certain extent, but I've never really had the chance to chat to you about what it is, what your approach is, really. Because it's easy, at one level, it's easy to say, well, I like to take things to their extreme, but it's more complicated than that, isn't it? You, like with Macbeth, which you mentioned, you set that in a cellar and people were dressed as in all sorts of weird and wonderful costumes, weren't they? But for that as an example, most people will know the story of Macbeth, he whispered. But what could you sort of describe what thought processes you went through to get to that sort of production? Did you just think, I want to do a mental Macbeth and therefore I'm going to throw these things into the mix? Or do you start the other way around and say, I want to strip Macbeth down to something else and then start from there? How did it work? Yeah, is there a way you could explain it to us?
With Macbeth, the idea came, I was watching I can't remember what play it's now, Streetcar Named Desire at the Apollo, with Maria Wilkinson, who, and I thought that was one of the best performances she's ever done, and she was fantastic in it. And during that play, I thought I'd really liked to see her play Macbeth.
I'd
really like to see Fiona play Lady Macbeth.
Fiona Gwynedd. Yeah.
And those two, and that was kind of the starting point. And then I was like, right, well, it will need to be, I would like to see it, have it as a full female production of the play. And then I started to research things and just pick out different bits as I was going. So before we'd started rehearsing, I kind of had a rough idea of what I wanted Fiona's character to be like. And then I went, I just happened to be in Brighton and I was in a bookstore and I was reading a book and flicking through some of the photos in the book on Russian feminism, which was interesting. And I was flicking through that and I was like, actually, do you know, this is the kind of style I think for the witches would be really effective. And then it kind of all comes together. And I was thinking, you know, there's a real kind of core message here.
Yeah.
We can play on the kind of anti-monarchy, anti kind of all of those core aspects of Macbeth that are there, and really make the focus about those witches, and really make it about, you know, they know everything that's going to happen. They're controlling this whole entire play.
Yeah.
So let's really mess them up and mess around with it.
Okay.
Then we found Aspire, the fantastic space there.
Yeah.
The crypt underneath, and also the adjoining kind of, I suppose it used to be a Sunday school room, which is a brilliant room, like a nice empty space, and it's nice and white and clean and very different to the kind of crypt that you had next door. So we kind of split the play into two sections.
Yeah.
We start off in that kind of clean area and then take the audience through the journey into the crypt. So all those kind of aspects, and you know, bits were added and taken away right up to the last night. So it's that kind of just development.
So do you think you're an initial ideas person? You would start from a little spark, the spark of genius. But you know, this not being facetious, but some sort of inspiration comes, and then you start to plot from that point, rather than saying, I want to do Macbeth, and then think, oh, I'll do it this way, sort of thing. You need the spark of an idea first.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just things, and then once I start thinking about it, I can't stop thinking about it. So everything kind of then falls into place from then on, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, would you say that's your unique selling point, really? That, you know, that's what your theatre company is about? I'm trying to do this from the point of view of the average listener now. You know, most people will just turn up to a play that they know and will want to see what they know. They expect it, you know, I paid my money for Agatha Christie and that's what I want to watch, sort of thing. But you like to challenge, don't you, and make people feel a bit uncomfortable when they're in the theatre. Is that fair?
Well, I think, it is important. Depending on the play, that some plays lend itself to doing that for an audience. And I suppose my company, I see as I'll do the plays that no one else will let me do. which is recently has kind of been a bit of the ethos behind that. And I don't know whether I could direct for another company for a while, because the kind of the way I'd like to do things, the way I work, I've tried with different companies, and it doesn't fit in with kind of how they work. I very much, you know, we'll try things out and we'll see what happens, and then this is the end product, whereas lots of people like to have it sorted. But then, you know, it depends completely on the play. The whole, my whole approach, the whole way, and what I want to get out of the audience will depend on the play. And I suppose that's why I like to keep the company quite quiet, and why we always change depending on the play. So our, you know, even down to the logo that we use, everything we use will change depending on the production that we're doing, because it's not about, the company is just me. So it's not about what I'm, you know, that I'm doing it. It's about, this is the play that we're going to put on, come and see this play. This is what it's going
to
be like.
Got you. Okay, and that's a pretty good link to what you're doing next, isn't it? Which is a big one, and it's a London West End biggie. And you're going to be in it.
I am.
Tell us all about it.
This is One Man, Two Governors, which is a massive hit comedy that began at the National Theatre. I went to see it on the first night it was on, James Corden, and then it transferred to the London, and then it to the West End, and then it transferred over to Broadway and did a world tour and has toured around the country for ages, and now the rights are available. So I'm going to be doing it, and it's a fantastic play. It's based on Goldoni's The Servant of Two Masters, which is a classic Italian piece of kind of just after Commedia dell'arte, so slight clowning and all of those things, which actually led on to what we kind of have now as pantomime. It's a it is a fast-paced, hilarious, non-stop play that is going to kill me, but I'm looking forward to it. Fiona Gwynnett is going to be directing. We've got a team of people who are going to be working on this. That it's going to be really interesting. We've got a we're going to use back projection to do all the different scene changes. You've got animators involved and illustrators involved, so it's brilliant. Kind of a really interesting collaborative project. So
Is your production going to be faithful to the one that people will have seen, or is this a different production?
It will be very much true to the script. I don't think you can do much with it. It's such a kind of some plays are you perform them as they're written, and this is definitely one of them. It's got a strict style to it. It's got a definite look and feel about the whole production, and we will be very true to that.
Okay.
And in doing that, it's going to be very hard work. There is a 25-minute non-stop slapstick scene just before the interval, which will be very hard. But it should be hilariously funny. And that's the key thing, that we will, as performers, be working the hardest we will have ever worked. But the audience, hopefully, will be laughing the hardest they've ever laughed. So that's kind of a hope.
And tell us about the part you're playing again.
So I play Francis Henshaw, who is kind of the lead in this. He's got two bosses, and his job is to try and stop them from meeting each other and stop anyone else from knowing that he's got two jobs. And that's kind of the premise of the whole play, really. We've got there's a Roscoe Crabb has been killed. His twin sister then pretends to be Roscoe. So there's a bit of cross-dressing, there's a bit of kind of lots of slapstick. And just the whole play is all based around this whole idea of mistaken identity and to try to escape from each other and all of those things. It's very funny.
Okay, fantastic. And when's it on, Joe?
It's on in June and July. The tickets have gone on sale today, which is very exciting. We're on the 20th, the 27th of June, the 4th and the 11th of July. And that's at Shanklin Theatre.
Okay, so it goes to shanklintheatre.com. Website to book.
Book them now. Sell out now. It'd be wonderful if it's sold out by the end of January.
Well, be at the end of the show, actually. Probably. Talk about jobs, finally. You're doing a great job of giving me all the links, Joe. I'm not even having to try today.
Seamless, isn't it?
It's seamless. It's awesome. But, yeah, I wanted to ask a bit about you as well, for people who don't know you. you are a teacher as well, aren't you? So you're working full time,
yeah,
as well as doing all this.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your job. Where do you teach?
I teach at Priory School in Whippingham,
yeah,
which is the loveliest school.
Do you teach drama by any chance?
I teach a little bit of drama with them, but I mainly teach English at the moment, so which is really good.
Yeah,
It's a lovely school, a brilliant kind of sense of community. Yeah. And they're great, and I love doing that during the day, and then going out and being silly at the theatre at night. And,
there was somebody
when I was at uni, one of my lecturers, who's an amazing actor, Alex McSweeney, and he said that he's always jealous of amateur theatre actors and people who get to perform like we do, because in a year, like I've played Henry Higgins, I'm going to play Francis Henshaw, I've directed Macbeth, I'm going to be in The Birthday Party, all sorts of things, you know, within a year.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was in London now working, I'd struggle to get an advert job, and it's this is a brilliant opportunity, and I will go back to London and I will kind of pursue this further, but this training that I'm getting at the moment, and this chance to be able to do all these things, is fantastic, and teaching is amazing, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And it also gives me that kind of backbone to be able to go and do these crazy things.
So many people in drama are teachers, aren't they?
I think it's the same as performing, isn't it?
You have
to plan and rehearse like you would before, and then you just
you
go out and perform. And the reaction that you get from students when they get things and all of those things, it's a really kind of, it's an inspiring job, and I'm very lucky to work at such an amazing school.
Fantastic. Well, it's nice. Positive stories to start 2016, isn't it? So it could be a pretty special year for you.
Definitely.
A big blockbuster production like this is probably the first time, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've done a big name,
a massive production like this. Yeah. It would be your first work.
Yeah. So. And finally, Joe, what anything else that you've got planned for 2016? It's a new year, so resolutions. What else are you up to?
Well, this I think is going to be my year of adventure.
Is it?
So I started this weekend. I'm going to walk all the way around the island doing the coastal walk. That's my first thing. So
what now? Are you setting
the first
up now,
chunk
are you?
Of that this weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do Upside Down Spinnaker Tower. I'm going to do Three Peaks Challenge. I'm just going to do everything. It's just a bit mental. So,
Joe!
It's my...
You need to get some sleep then.
Just a crazy thing. No one sleeps.
Early night for you, Joe. And longer term, you mentioned London, and I remember speaking to you ages ago, not on the radio, but you've always had that sort of, I don't know whether it's a burning ambition or just a thought in the back of your mind that maybe one day you'll go back to London and make a career there. In theatre. Is that really the long term aim?
Yeah,
still.
It is. And hopefully it won't be that long away now.
Yeah.
I do absolutely love it there, and I think it is. London has more live theatre venues than any other city in the world, and it is phenomenal, and it has the best theatre and best performances, and it just. The opportunities that are there to be able to go and see the best people working is fantastic. I just really want to go and be part of that.
So. Yeah, okay. Well, all the best for everything you're doing, Joe.
Thank you, Kevin.
And thanks for coming in. And just give us one more plug for your show in June.
Yes, so One Man, Two Governors in June and July at Shankland Theatre. I'm also in some Pinter play at the Apollo, but that's fine.
Oh, never mind that. Yeah, I'll give that a plug another time.
Excellent.
I'll get Amy in to talk about the birthday party,
Wonderful.
I think, yeah. Or Marilyn Ford.
She's directing.
You'll get Marilyn in. I might even get a word in.
Brilliant.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Excellent. Thank you very much.